Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
The story of Gideon from the Bible, but before we do, I want to encourage you to ponder on these questions. What if God is calling you right now? What if God is calling you right now to trust Him? What if He wants to show you that His strength is more than enough, even when you feel sick or weak or small or anything else? So we're going to ponder on that question. But let's open up our Bibles if you have any on the chairs. If not, then we can follow from the screen. And I invite Vinira to come and do the Bible reading for us.
This Bible reading this morning is from Old Testament Book of Judges, chapter 7, verses 1 to 24. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, this is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel will boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now I announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave the Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, then 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. The Lord told them, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as dogs lap from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from the cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down to their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give them to the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets from the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down to the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites and Amalekites and all the eastern peoples had set into the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted as the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as man was telling his friend in a dream. In a dream, he was saying, A round loaf of barley bread come tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God had given the Midianites the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and his interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. The return of the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all follow without our trumpets, then all the camp blows yours and shouts, 'For the Lord of Gideon.'" Gideon and the 100 men with him reached out the edge of the camp and the beginning of the middle watch. Just as they had changed their guards, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their rights the trumpets to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord of Gideon." While each of the men held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, The Lord caused men throughout the camp to see each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah and Zereth, as far as the border of Abel Meholath and near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh were called out and pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messages throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of Jordan ahead of them as far as Bethbara." So all the men of Ephraim were called out. They seized the waters of Jordan as far as Bethbara.
Thank you, Anira. So the story of Gideon starts from chapter 6 in the book of Judges with this very, very predictable statement. Guess what? The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord again and again. And for 7 years, God gave them into the hands of Midianites. So last week, our handsome Nick introduced a cycle that repeats in the book of Judges. During the period between Joshua and kings of Israel, over 4 centuries, Israel experienced a cycle of rebellion, punishment, and deliverance. So when the people strayed from God and fell into idolatry, God allowed their enemies to oppress them. In their distress, they cried out to God, and God raised a judge to deliver them. And we see this cycle over and over again in the book of Judges. Now here in verses 2 to 5, we read that for 7 years, they were bordered by the Midianites and Amalekites. And for 7 years, there had been this constant terrorizing coming from these two groups of people. So they raided Israel's land, they destroyed their crops, and stole their livestock. Then verse 6, the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. So God, we need help. We need your help again. And help comes in verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mighty warrior. At this point, Gideon is not absolutely a mighty warrior. He's hiding in a wine press, afraid of the enemies who had been oppressing his people. When we meet Gideon in chapter 6, we see that he was in full isolation. He was alone. He was sad. He was discouraged. He was depressed. He was overwhelmed. He was anxious. And he said that he had fear. In addition, he had lost hope. He didn't think that his life would get any better. And he didn't think that anything he did would ultimately matter. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," the angel says. It's hard for him to believe that. And he even questions God. He even accuses God and his authority by asking, "If the Lord is with us, why has all these things happened to us?" That's a very confronting question by Gideon. Well, it seems that he is kind of sort of blind to see the answer. The answer was at the beginning of the chapter in verse 1. The Israelites again and again did what was evil in God's eyes. So his nation had been invaded, terrorized, and oppressed for 7 years. There was an economic downturn. Furthermore, he was in hiding. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. He's literally hiding. He's reached a point where some people do, that they just sort of given up any hope that things are going to get changed. They just sort of accept and oppressed and difficult and sad, and as a result, just sort of a depressed oppression settle on them. And then something amazing happened for Gideon and the people of Israel. God, in his faithfulness, did not forsake them forever. They cried out to the Lord. God heard their cry, and now it's time for restoration. God called Gideon to rescue his people, to restore them, to show his faithfulness to them again. Despite Gideon's fear and doubt, God chose him. Why? Because he was a mighty warrior? No. Because God wasn't looking for a perfect hero. He was looking for someone willing to follow his lead. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, another name for Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And then we see that at that camp, which was the north of the place that they were, the hill of Morah is the name of the place. So Gideon, after he had been called by God and assured by God that he was the leader of this army to deliver his people from Midianites, he sends out different messengers to different tribes to say, "Hey, listen, we are about to go to war. Are you in?" And he asks God for a sign. And God gives him a sign. And he gives him another sign. He's saying, "It's true, Gideon. You're actually going to have victory." Gideon is thinking to himself that, okay, how God is going to do this? Are we going to see mountains open up and fall on these people? Are we going to see rocks come down from heaven? What are you going to see? Gideon must have thought that, okay, I need to gather as many men as possible to have a chance to victory. So he gathered 32,000 at the beginning from these different tribes, and now they are parked at a certain location not too far from the Midianites, and they're about to go to war, and Gideon recruits these people. But Gideon is about to find out that God has a different recruitment process. He's about to discover that the Lord looks for different things within a man before he launches them. Now Gideon is there with his thousands of men, and he's waiting for the word from God to know exactly where to go and what to do. He gathered 32,000 soldiers, but God had another plan. What Gideon's about to hear is perhaps not what he anticipated. So God says, "I'm going to ask you to do something that is going to require some faith." This is the key point here. And what God asked Gideon is to eliminate some people. God told him that 32,000 was too many. He said, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. If you win with this army, then you might think you did it on your own strength and not because of me." So God reduced the army to only 300 men. Now think about that for a moment. You are in a battle. You're going to face an army of thousands, and what you got is just 300 men. This is insane, isn't it? Just imagine for a second the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty, all the emotion that is going on in you. And you keep repeating to say to yourself that, I'm not going to win. There is no chance for me to win with 300 people. But God had a plan that didn't rely on numbers or strength. It relied on obedience and trust. Obedience and trust. Here's where the story takes an even more surprising turn. God didn't equip Gideon's 300 men with sword or shields. Instead, he told them to take trumpets, jars, and torches. This wasn't a typical battle strategy at all. So Gideon trusted God, even when the plan didn't make sense to him. That night, Gideon's 300 men surrounded the enemy camp. At God's command, they blew the trumpets, broke the jars, and revealed their torches. The enemy was thrown into confusion. God brings the spirit of confusion into the camp of the enemies, and in their panic, they turned on each other and fled. Without lifting a sword, Gideon and his men saw a miraculous victory here. God deliberately made the situation impossible. You know why? So that everyone would know it was his power, not human strength, that won the battle. Again, Gideon may seem like a superhero in this story, but actually the victory belongs to God, not to Gideon or his army. We are going to have an activity together with our children, and I invite Nick to come up and lead us through this activity, and then we come back with the rest of the story. Thanks, Nick, and thank you, everyone. Great job, Guy, and everybody else. So, the story of Gideon is not just a story about the ancient time. It's not about Israelites. It's not about Gideon. It's not for 1,000 years ago. It's a story about how God works in our lives today, here at Deep Creek. We've all got a season of life that we look back, that was the test and trial and trouble. That was the point where we weren't sure if we were going to make it through or not. Or maybe some of you are in this season at the moment. You are in a war, but it's not yours to fight alone. God is with us, and He will bring the victory in ways you cannot even imagine. So some people may think that God no longer performs signs and wonders and miracles and supernatural these days. I'm totally against that, not me, but the Bible, but the experiences of Christian and the testimony that we hear every day in our lives, that God works in our lives every day in supernatural ways, the ways that we cannot experience. We cannot even expect that. So the point is that God is very creative. He is the Almighty God who has His own ways. And He is free to reveal Himself in whatever way He chooses. Whatever. So Gideon's story reflects this. Despite being weak, despite being imperfect, God used Gideon to accomplish His perfect work, to rescue His people again. This should encourage us today. Because even though we're weak, we're imperfect, or dealing with challenges that looks kind of war in our lives, we know that our perfect God can achieve perfect things through us for His purpose, and according to His plan. So let me ask you again, what if God is calling you right now to trust Him? What if He wants to show you that His strength is more than enough, even when you feel weak or imperfect or small? As Christian, we know that there is spiritual war in our lives. The angels of the Lord came to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And as I mentioned, he was not a mighty warrior at that time. But Holy Spirit clothed him with strength. The Holy Spirit gave him courage and strength. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit to go and do supernatural things. Gideon was a warrior, a soldier with the Spirit of God to go to war. So now today, as Christians, as children of God, are in a spiritual war as well. In our lives, in the world around us. And this war is against the forces of darkness. And what God is looking for is soldiers, and not those who will surrender. And God empowers us. He empowered Gideon and his army to win this war. And He empowers you and me. He empowers us to go to this war. Verse 7 says, "The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. And Gideon had an army of just 300 men, not equipped with sword and shield, but with trumpets, jars, and torches." Can you get to the second part of this slide? It's all right. I get through that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's all right. Just leave it. So, this is unbelievable. This is absolutely unwinnable war. But our God wins unwinnable wars. The battle belongs to the Lord. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord, our God." How then we should trust the Lord when we are in battlefield? Gideon asked God for a sign. And it seems reasonable, isn't it? He wanted to make sure that God is with him. So he wanted to make sure that he is called by God. So God gives him a sign, and he gives him another sign. And finally, he asked him to go down to the camp with his servant Porah and to listen to a dream and its interpretation to make sure that, and to be encouraged that God is with him and is going to give him victory in this unwinnable war. Then he bowed and worshiped God. God is literally saying to Gideon here, "Yes, it's true, Gideon. It seems impossible. It seems unwinnable, but I am the God of impossible. Go and win the battle." So again, how should we trust the Lord when we are in the battlefield? Let me encourage you with two things. The first one is that God, I can't see the other screen, but yeah. So God, what needs us is a faith, and faith always defeats fear. So God doesn't need large numbers, perfect circumstances, or a flawless plan. He needs our trust. Our role is trust and to obey our God, even when we don't understand His plan. Victory doesn't come from our strength, but from our trust in God. So sometimes God even reduces our resources, our time, our finances, our energy. So that we are forced, we are encouraged to entirely rely on Him. But the good news is this: when we are weak, God is strong. When we are outcounted, God is still in control. The victory belongs to Him, not to us. And the second thing, so when Gideon was sure that God is with him, he bowed and worshiped. Worship is not just what we do here at the church with the music here. Worship is part of our Christian life. Worship is to live a life according to God's will. Worship is a living sacrifice that we are as Christian to offer ourselves to God, to say, God, we worship you and we live according to your will because you loved us first. So worship at the church is just some part of worship that we do with the music and praising the Lord with songs and music. But worship is much more deeper. So worship here is surrendering to God and then trusting God to go before us and to defeat enemies. Gideon worshiped as he entered a new phase from being a civilian to a soldier, to a warrior. And we are called to worship. For many of us, new seasons bring fear and anxiety and uncertainty, whether it's marriage, parenthood, illness, unemployment, or moving to a new place. We all experience this season in our lives. In this time, we are encouraged to worship God instead of worrying. Gideon's battle foreshadows the ultimate victory of our perfect hero, Jesus Christ. Like Gideon, you may need a sign to reassure that God is with you right now, here at Deep Creek in your life, that He is fighting for you in your new season, and that He is working in and through you, even when you feel weak, broken, exhausted, or defeated. You need a sign, and God has given you a sign. You need a sign, and God has given us a sign. Isaiah chapter 9. While I read this passage to you, I encourage you to see the little story of Gideon is part of the bigger story of Jesus Christ. I read Isaiah chapter 9, and I encourage you to ponder on these words and to reflect on the season, whatever season you are in. I encourage you to ponder on that and invite the Holy Spirit into your season and invite and ask God to fight for you. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across the shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boots used in the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This is a sign for you and I. This is a sign through Jesus Christ that is given you and I today, that God is with us. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, defeated sin and death, defeated the power of death. He gained the victory, not by force, not by sword, but through his sacrifice. Jesus has already won the greatest victory on our behalf. The cross looked like weakness to many people, but it was God's ultimate plan for victory. I finish with this quote with Martin Luther, who says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ is the valiant man who fights for us, conquers for us, and triumphs for us." I want to encourage you to look through the story of Gideon today, and I want you to look at the story of Jesus. Gideon came as a judge, and Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Gideon was appointed by God to lead the army. Jesus, the Son of God, was sent by the Father to lead humanity to salvation, to offer himself, to offer eternal victory through his death and resurrection. Gideon started his battle by blowing a trumpet, and in the end, the angel's trumpet blast will announce the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Gideon worshiped while the Lord won a war, and today, right now, in our life, in the season we are, we worship the Lord. We worship together knowing that Jesus is our victor, that he's coming again to defeat all enemies, and he will be ours forever and ever. Amen.